Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour.
We are brought to you weekly by AllAccessMMA.com. A little bit of feedback there, but...
Yeah, that was from my phone. Sorry, I just muted it.
So again, that was AllAccessMMA.com. Ed, Old Man Boxing. I'd say lived up to Old Man Boxing, wouldn't you?
Oh, man. I guess. I mean, there's so many reasons for that event to kind of like... And the folks that... I mean, it's not even them. So, the folks that fight are pretty good to us. So, I'm not trying to lay a slight on them. But the Triller... I mean, Triller owns Fight. So, I mean... I don't know. There's no nice way to say that. I mean, they should have just nipped this in the bud. I didn't like seeing Evander Holyfield get blazed. He didn't really get knocked out that bad, and he said he wasn't hurt afterward. But just the whole thing. I mean, even you. I mean, personally, like you were supposed to be there. You know. So.
Yeah. The plan was to come on here and give him a bunch of crap for on my ticket app. Friday it said it was canceled. Then Monday I went to look for my refund and the event ticket said that it was now rescheduled for Sunday, September 11th, 2022. So I thought it was them trying to get out of pain. It looks like I did get an email about cancellation today. So at least from my perspective, hopefully I at least get that money back into my bank account. As far as the event goes, I kind of said last week, I mean, it wasn't going to be a huge show no matter what. I don't think, but I think you almost would have been successful if you just would have done Tito and Silva. I mean, that's what everybody's really talking about anyway, in any kind of good light. And people are happy for Silva, and rightfully so. And right now, Tito's not the guy that everybody likes. So, I mean, it makes sense that in Southern California, that easily could have flown. You wouldn't have had much of a crowd. I don't think they had much of a crowd as it turned out. And I imagine most of the people there probably got free anyway.
Yeah, we said this too on Friday. I know we recorded late Friday the day before, and now we're a couple days after removed from it. But it's one of those things where they should have just, I mean, like you said, kept it going in California. I mean, look at all the it's refunds, travel, last minute travel to. I'm sure I don't know what kind of deal the Hard Rock threw, you know, Triller and all them, and I mean, it looks like it just created a whole mess of. I don't know what behind the scenes, the EAG management, the PR company that kind of represented the whole thing with Donald Trump appearance being there and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but the person that runs that PR sent out an email yesterday, I believe it was, yesterday, telling people that they're done working with Triller. You know, just one statement. We're done working with Triller and you can print that like. Effective immediately. So that was a very angry message to send out to folks that cover, you know, them. And it's just one of these things where it just makes you wonder. I know Luke Thomas went on morning. Oh, shit. Spider fell on me. The fuck out of here.
That'll be a nice little clip there.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit. We're talking. There he is. We're talking about Silva and
yeah, that's a nice segue, but where the fuck did that come from? The weather's all freaky here, so they don't know whether they're bugs or don't know run inside or stay outside. But and then I was saying Luke Thomas on his podcast, the Morning Combat thing that he does with what's his face, he was even saying like everything just looks so shady. He's not going to trust anything that Triller does. And it seems like that just seems to be the case. I mean, the whole thing with, you know, how do you license somebody like Holyfield at 58 years old? I saw no evidence of somebody that was bringing in his A game. You know what I mean? To a
competitive boxing
match.
He couldn't even stand in the ring without losing
but
his balance.
Not even, yeah, he threw a punch and knocked himself over. And then all the lead up in the workout with him, you know, hitting the pads and stuff. I was just like, no, man, this guy's not ready. And even his family was I forgot, it might have been MMA Fighting. or probably bloody elbow because they like looking for that type of stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. even his family was like, we're not like, we don't feel comfortable with this happening.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, Triller made a bad decision. Florida Athletic Commission is probably the ultimate one to be blamed for giving the license. But, and I don't, his family, I mean, sure, they don't like it. I believe in a individual's right to do whatever
they want to do. Yeah.
To do. So
yeah.
I don't have any issue with Holyfield wanting to box. I don't care if he wants to box till he's 114. If, if somebody's going to give him a license, then that's on them. There are people that should be there to protect Holyfield from that decision, but those people didn't make that decision. So we ended up with what we did. Luckily, like you said, he really didn't get beat up that bad.
Yeah.
He just missed, you know, that uppercut put him down, but it didn't, it wasn't a full on, Ngannou, you know, but yeah. it was close to happening. It was just a matter of time before Vitor landed something. I mean, no matter how old Vitor is, people forget that he's got that speed, and that speed, as long as that exists, if that keeps with him in age, he's going to be able to do this forever. He's going to beat all mm-hmm. these old guys. I have a feeling he probably would have done very similar things to De La Hoya. Although maybe not as easy to hit like we had talked about before, but I don't know. Not a great yeah. look. But I don't know if I just turned the back on the whole thing. I mean, I know Anderson Silva was interviewed and he kind of said it, you know, we shouldn't necessarily, and he was talking about Jake Paul, but you know, I mean, this opens the door for guys like him to be able to compete in kind of a more fun mm-hmm. atmosphere. I mean, the reality is if Holyfield wasn't hurt, which he claims to not be, and we haven't heard any reports of that. The reality is that we're just kind of being a little bit soft, as fans, and we obviously have a responsibility to the sport to try to keep it on the up and up, but you know, we watch guys get the hell beat out of him.
Yeah, no, times a week, and it is, you know? I mean, I say this a lot on when I do the thing for MMAnews.com, you know, it's controlled violence at the end of the day. So you do have to kind of, you can't just shun away. I mean, I know, you know, you and I always have the thing, I call you the Just Bleed guy. So, but like, you know, I, as somebody that kind of has a sense of what these guys put their bodies through, you know, it's like, you know, I get it. Like you want longevity, you want them to eventually be able to coach and have, you know, and I didn't see that from Holyfield in his interviews. I didn't see that in his prep. And I didn't see yeah. that. Definitely didn't see that during the fight. And the fact that he said he wants to still face Mike Tyson, who, not for nothing, I mean, Mike Tyson went with Roy Jones Jr., who's not that long retired. I mean, and that he you see him hitting pads and stuff. You're not worried about him. You're actually still worried about Mike Tyson hitting people and putting them to sleep forever. So it's two different, you know, but. You know, at the end of the day, like you said, it's the individual, it's the athlete. He's got to find something in himself to say why. But he looks like he doesn't want to stop. And as far as Anderson Silva goes, he kind of like it looked like he wanted to say he was done in the in-ring interview, but then in the post-fight press conference, you know, like you said, he's talking about Jake Paul and you know fighting Vitor.
I read it as a misunderstanding during the interview. I know a lot of people kind of thought that he was retiring. I read it as just a language barrier where
yeah.
she kind of asked him, like there was kind of a crossover on question.
She wasn't the best on-screen personality either.
It wasn't, yeah, yeah. It wasn't exactly.
I guess that's what they do when you move things last minute.
So, yeah. Like, hey, so
you're good looking. Get on TV.
Yeah, I think he got confused with "Well, we will see you again" with "We won't see you again," mm-hmm. and it crossed up because he was smiling while he said it. If he was going to retire in the ring, I think it would have been a little bit more of a, you know, different kind of Anderson Silva. But to get to that fight, I mean, I was wrong. I was wrong about a few things last week. He. You know, if Evander Holyfield's going to fight anybody, I think the only person on this planet I'd sanction him to fight at this point would be Tito Ortiz. You know, we saw slow punches. We saw.
Oh yeah.
I mean, anybody watching that's going like, dude, he's going to get countered, right? Like, and no yeah. matter what fight you ever watch, when some dude's throwing right, left, over and over again, you're just waiting for the dude to kind of duck out and hit him with a hook. And,
what happened. You know what? You mentioned just a little bit ago how we were wrong about a lot of things last week. None of us saw him knocking out Tito Ortiz because of that huge head of his. And look what happened. I mean, not only did he knock him out, he like knocked him out. Like that was reminiscent of the way Fedor finished Andre Arlovsky. Like just the after effect, the way Arlovsky
final photo on the ground for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. I mean, so the positive that everyone seems to be taking away from it is that in this little boxing run that Anderson Silva is doing, he's getting to go out legendary with wins and finish it. You know what I mean? Like he beat a real boxer, and now he beat Tito Ortiz. So, you know,
it sucks that we didn't get Anderson Silva doing this like after his leg break. You know, like if we would have got a 5-6 year head start on this and got a, you know, a 38-year-old Anderson Silva instead of a 44-year-old, where potentially this could be, because it is fun. Now he's knocking out guys that really, you know, Tito Ortiz needs to never put on the boxing gloves again.
What I mean, that's a good example of how folks talk about boxing, and you know, the particular focus discipline as it translates to mixed martial arts versus doing that, like kickboxing and then kickboxing for MMA, and boxing and boxing for MMA, and wrestling for MMA. It's all very different. I mean, Tito Ortiz obviously traded blows a lot in his career, and it's, you know, against other MMA fighters. But when you remove that and you put yourself in the boxing environment, you know, I mean, Anderson Silva was a striker always, so he adapted better and he seems to be doing better. And I mean, obviously he's more relaxed and more comfortable there. But I was surprised to see it. I thought we could at least get a couple of rounds out of it.
Yeah, I didn't see the knockout coming until it kind of dawned on me. I'm looking at going like, dude, if he, you know, this could happen. He's leaving himself wide open. You know, I just look back and go, God dang, it might have been fun to see Vitor and Anderson and maybe even Holyfield and Tito. I mean, we might have actually had, in theory, some even even fights. I think Tito probably would have beat Holyfield. Holyfield looked dangerously inept.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks to say because of the guys, you know, accomplished so much in that sport, in boxing, but I mean, he's 58, man, and you're, you know,
you're fighting a most likely roided out Vitor Belfort. I mean, it's just like I feel like he was set up more than anything, because he probably had no idea who Vitor Belfort was. Half of these dudes have no idea who these MMA guys are. You know, short of maybe hearing his name in the past, I don't think he had any idea really what he was walking into. He looks at a guy who has no professional or maybe one professional boxing fight in the last 20 years. He sees that the guy, you know, lost his last few MMA fights, and, you know, and it's like, I just think that they probably get ahead of themselves and he's thinking about what life was like 30 years ago. But
yeah,
the reality is that, you know, as far as the whole Triller thing, like I feel like it's what we get. It's like if you watch the Full Metal Circus or whatever with the, you know, transvestite, you know, people boxing, you know, guys boxing girls, and, you know, and out there it's a little different world than maybe what Combate's putting on. If you pay to watch it, like, you got to kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah, you know? it's like watching pro wrestling. You don't go there taking it serious and, you know what I mean? Everyone knows it's me and you and I, like, we talk about AEW and all that. Yeah, you go there because you want to have fun watching it, but you don't want to be like, oh man, you don't want to see something that makes you walk away and feel like you did something dirty either.
Correct.
But correct. I mean, so I honestly, everyone keeps wondering where does Triller get their money from and all these things. And, you know, one of the other things that they had to postpone, push back, that other folks going through what you went through with your ticket issue, is a Teofimo Lopez Cambosis. I forget how to say his opponent's name. I always mess it up. But that's pushed back to next month. And folks, it's supposed to be here in the Hulu Theater in Madison Square Garden. And if folks are looking to buy tickets for it and looking for stuff, and it's not posted. So I'm wondering. And then I think it was Dan Raphael tweeted. He even reached out to Teofimo Lopez team to ask them what's going on. And they were like, we don't have travel. No one's told us anything. So I don't know if it's just, I don't know what's going on. I mean, again, you should check Dan Raphael's Twitter. If you don't know who Dan Raphael is, he's a boxing insider guy. You know, he's written about boxing for ages, but I don't know, man. Triller's It just looks like a lot of funny business over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is now. As long as we don't hear guys like Anderson Silva and Tito Ortiz and these guys talking about not getting paid, then I feel like the fans kind of get what you pay for. You know, you shouldn't be surprised by it. And if you buy the next Jake Paul versus Masvidal fight or whoever the heck it ends up being, then you should know what you're getting. And you know, and looks like they're getting decent pay-per-view numbers. I don't expect this one to have much. This doesn't have.
Oh yeah, I didn't even look for that. Yeah.
So I don't think this one's going to have a whole lot. The Trump thing threw me off. Made no real sense.
Yeah.
Rumors of Obama on the next one just doesn't make any sense. And we talked about this last week. Like, that can't be cheap. So now on top of canceling your event, giving refunds for the majority of tickets that people bought, moving the event, probably losing your license or your arena fee.
Yeah.
You know, and now
and the thing is too. I mean, talking about like I read that too about having Obama in the next one, and they had Trump here for this one. The other thing is too, I mean, not for nothing, like you and I, we don't like to get into politics and all this bullshit. Combat sports is our escape. So when you bring a polarizing figure that from the last 4 years of politics into the event, you're either going to, you know, either scare half the folks away or disgust them. Okay. I put a question up on Quora. It's the most popular question I've ever posted. Was asking, because Trump doing commentary, do you think it'll sell more and buy more? And if you check my Twitter, I posted it the couple of days before that, because I posted it early that week, and most of the responses were like negative. So I wouldn't be surprised if the pay-per-view didn't do well.
Yeah, I don't think it did. I can't imagine it really did. So it would shock me, but you know, that's kind of wraps that up. Hopefully they get that circus a little bit under control and get, I know, when YouTube fighters is like norm,
yeah.
You know, you're just kind of going.
I got one thing I want to throw at you though, because I mean, if this isn't going to go away, right?
And, no, and I don't
it's going to
so.
Be something that we have to probably talk about again. I threw this out there. I don't know why it jumped in my head, but how do you think a Triller Fight Club with the main event of Anderson Silva under Queensbury rules, Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen, would you be interested in buying that? Because I have a feeling Chael Sonnen could sell the shit out of that.
I think it could be sold the hell out of. I think that Anderson Silva would knock him out, probably. You know, it's hard to say like Tito, because we don't see too many guys get totally face planted like that. But I think Silva, if Silva went in there and wanted to finish Chael Sonnen, I don't think he'd have an issue with it. I think it works. I think it makes sense. I mean, but I, honestly, after what I just saw, like to me, Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort is the fight that like not only would I want to watch again in MMA, but you know, we were kind of robbed of that MMA fight. It was a lot of stare down and then a quick, you know, teep kick to the face or front kick to the face. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of action. And that was during the when we thought Vitor was kind of on his run. Mm-hmm. You know, if both these guys can use the supplements to make them feel good and get in there and go, that's a fight that I would be interested in. I don't think they'll do that because they might be two of the cash cows that they can use as MMA stars that can at least be good enough to go on. I mean, we saw what Askren did. We saw what Woodley did. They might be able to split those two guys up and not want to knock them off. That might, you know, and they might not want to knock each other off. If they can be the MMA representatives and make a ton of money beating YouTube guys, or at least fighting YouTube guys, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of rematches. Once these YouTube guys start losing, that's when really this comes to an end. So, I mean, I guess it does come to an end eventually if there's not another freak show straight up that comes up through the ranks. But, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we see McGregor melting down on a daily basis. I feel like we're closer to him fighting one of these YouTube guys than anything.
And Triller, right? Like the Machine Gun Kelly and McGregor at the next Triller Fight Club.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me anymore.
They were already doing odds the following day afterwards. So yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all.
But yeah, I don't know. The Sonnen thing's cool. I don't know. I haven't heard other than some speculation, and honestly, probably of all the fights that are out there of guys who are known to fight each other, that's definitely one of the top available ones, where you at least know the guys are going to be in shape. Yeah. I mean, you knew that with Tito. Tito came in shape. He missed weight, but asking him to be 195
in shape for his age. Yeah, I mean, listen, Tito Ortiz is in shape for his age. As far as his preparation and stuff, he's always impressive there. It's just like, well, again, I mean, it's not MMA. It was his boxing debut, and he definitely would like need to literally do like 6-8 months to a year of boxing training before he takes an actual another, you know, boxing match.
Yeah, it just, like I said, I'm no boxer, but you know, you can't open yourself up like that. Just, and it could have been any combat sport where a guy can hit you. Like, Silva just stood there and timed it and was like, okay, he's going to pitter-pat me 6 punches. His jaw's wide open. I'm going to sidestep to the right. And
yeah, and I know Tito Ortiz deleted the tweet or the Instagram post or whatever where he was like, oh, you hit me in the back of the head. Dude, it's out there in all kinds of slow motion, fast motion. Those were all jaw and like,
the second like one literally might have grazed the back of the head, but it just grazed. He landed the first one really hard, and then he landed the third punch on his way down. The second one was like, well, it might have grazed the back of his head, but by then he was already on Dream Street, and it was over. And it was a part of a combination. Like, if the dude catches you on the back of the head while you're falling unconscious to the floor, that's on you. That's like turning your, you know, that's what happened with
Eddie turned Alvarez. Around. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember one finally overturned it because the fighter he's fighting turned his head to the punches.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but cool to see Anderson Silva win. I'm glad that he's happy. He seems real happy and in a good place.
I wouldn't mind if he just, that's it. Like, you're good. You retire.
This is like, stuff like this is what's going to keep him relevant up until if he wants to go until he's like 50. If he stays in shape, if he doesn't fight anybody that has massive punch power that's going to put him out cold, even Vitor's not likely to put him out with a single shot. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know, and that's the guys who are going to really scare you, is if he decides to go in there and fight a Tyson Fury, or, you know, I don't know who the lightweight or the cruiserweight would be in that in boxing right now, but that's what you don't want, is him to get his head above where he's actually at and put his life at risk by fighting somebody better than like Cesar Chavez Jr. basically.
Yeah.
But let's move on from that. We get Bellator back this week. Kind of a surprise. I want to say last minute, but pretty last minute event announced for San Jose. And this card was kind of thrown together after we had already known about the next Bellator event and even the one after that with Fedor fighting. Heck, you can go farther than that if you want to get to the Pitbull and Quayle fight. But this is one. It looks like Yoel Romero got cleared for whatever the issue was that he had with Rumble Johnson, and Bellator decided that he should fight Phil Davis. I don't know. does the fight excite you? I mean, other than seeing Romero kind of fight, see, it doesn't, because I don't like. I think Phil Davis is gonna jab and rock around the ring, and Romero's gonna get frustrated, and I think Davis is gonna win a boring decision. I don't like the matchmaking here, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what they, you know, it's kind of like what are they gonna do? You know, the tournament had to move forward. Romero was in the tournament. The eye issue that he had been removed for, you know, supposed to be resolved. So they're trying to keep him in that mix of light heavyweight, which, I mean, Phil Davis is ranked number 3 in the Bellator ranking. So it's kind of his opportunity to, you know, prove himself to at least be in that mix, or, you know, fight your contract out.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand the rankings wise. I understand why Romero would take the fight. I understand all of that. I just don't necessarily understand. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Romero, I mean, I just don't see it. I don't think either one knocks each other out on the feet standing. And I just, and we've seen when Romero gets kind of in his, when he fights guys who are a little bit, you know, non-aggressive and non, you know, not super willing just to attack.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at with that. It's not, I don't know. Like, we had the Kazakhstani guy who was in the ACA guy who was in the tournament. He would have been more of a better matchup. Even the dude Rumble fought, Augusto, right? Or You know, that he could have, you know, something like that. Somebody was going to actually.
Well, I mean, you got to remember Davis lost to Nemkov. So this is, I mean, again, it's a nice way to line him up.
It all makes sense that reason. Yes.
Yeah. Even if they wanted to try to like build up, like say, you know, cause it's a tournament, anything can happen. We've already seen something happen to bring in the Augusto guy and all these other alternates. Mm-hmm. So maybe this could be the case for making one of these guys reinserting them back into the tournament with these last fights that we have left. So I completely get it. And I mean, the thing about Romero is, I mean, and you're 100% right. Like Saturday night, it depends on which Romero we get. Are we going to get the knockout machine that's super dangerous in the first round, two rounds, round and a half, you know, or are we going to get the one that tries to play games like he did with Israel Adesanya and you know, make a boring fight? So you're not wrong there.
No, and I hope I'm wrong. I mean, the other thing is, so like if Davis wins this fight, he's already lost to Nemkov twice. He's already fought Ryan Bader twice and lost to him twice. It just kind of seems like a weird, he's kind of in a limbo place right here. And I don't know, maybe this is kind of a way to get Phil Davis out of Bellator. I mean, I'm just saying realistically, like, where does he go? You know, a trilogy fight with the two guys who have already beat him it's a weird thing. And then Romero, so I feel like Bellator is probably pulling for Romero, at least in their minds.
I'm sure they threw a lot of money to get him. I mean, he couldn't be a cheap sign. So no. I mean, hey, like you know, of course they're pulling for, they probably, Phil Davis has already been there a while, he's already held the title. Mm-hmm. Won the one night tournament, the Dynamite tournament. So like it's, they've already gotten their, you know, they've already gotten what they wanted out of Phil Davis when he got there. So now they're hoping to repeat that with Yoel Romero. And not for nothing, I want it too, because it's. I mean, look at the excitement it caused when he signed over there. I mean, we got robbed of Rumble versus Romero. Hopefully, we still get that. You know, depending on how Saturday goes and what the next quarter or whatever, you know, whatever's left in the. I hope we get something fun out of it, but I'm not even gonna try to predict this one. You know, let's just look at the rest of the card. But I mean, because again, depending on the type of Romero we get, it's either gonna, you know, it literally is a coin toss.
Yeah, yeah. So, one of your Gracies, one of your boys in the in the co-main event, Neiman Gracie returns against Mark Lemminger. Gracie coming off of his tough loss I want to say Jason Jackson, but I don't know why that name. Not Jason Jackson. It is Jason Jackson. And Lemminger coming off of a couple of a win over DeMarcus Jackson, following a loss to Amosov and Jaleel Willis in Bellator. I mean, I think Gracie wins this fight. When you look at his losses to Rory and Jackson, I mean, mm-hmm. he kind of, two guys who at the time especially were maybe levels to it. I think we'll see it right now where he's probably another level ahead of his opponent in this fight. And I'd like to see it probably rear naked choke finish, you know, mid to later round of the fight.
And we bring up the fight card from the Bellator's website. They have a fan voting thing for the audio listeners that can't see this. It looks like the fans are voting with us, agree 90% that Gracie's probably going to win. And of course, I'm thinking he's going to win by submission just because, you know, he's a Gracie.
Mm-hmm. The great Alejandra Lara faces Deanna Bennett, who comes over from Invicta, comes over from UFC, from the Ultimate Fighter show. Lara has had a couple tough fights in a row, but I think she gets back on the winning streak here and is able to pick up the victory. You know, coming off the loss to Watanabe, she did beat Vita Ortega in what I think was her best performance to date.
I thought that I vaguely remember the last fight, but I remember for some reason I thought she was going to beat Watanabe. Yeah,
and it was a really close fight. It was a split decision.
So I mean, usually when it's a split decision like that, I feel like maybe the L doesn't feel so heavy to the fighter, but I mean, you know, we'd really have to ask them. I know they're going to do their media tomorrow, probably. So we'll probably hopefully someone hears this and thinks of that to ask, because unfortunately I won't be able to get in on that media day with this stupid return to normal. but this one, actually, the Canadian God James Lynch just spoke to Karakanyan yesterday for I forgot, it might have been All Access that he interviewed for, so check there to see if it's that. But oddly enough, I mean, he's synonymous with Bellator MMA as one of their top lightweights, and this is the last fight on his contract. So I'm wondering, like, if he's trying to re-up with them or shop around. I think he told James Lynch that he is trying to shop around, but, you know, a win would make your bargaining chips a little bit bigger, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say a win gives him a chance at the UFC. Mm-hmm. It'll be three wins in a row. A loss probably makes him more. I mean, honestly, a loss. I feel like he's almost done with Bellator. He's ran the course with Bellator. To me, he'd be almost be a perfect PFL kind of guy. If they're going to have $1 million on the line, I feel like that's more his, a little bit more of his wheelhouse right now. I think he wins this fight. Rogers is coming off a loss to Mads Burnell. I think Kanaharian will use his veteran savviness to continue to put pressure on. And I think he'll win this fight. Been around a long time, especially in the Southern California scene. So I'm not sure exactly, like I said, where he's going to go. But mm-hmm. I think a win, I think the UFC has a chance for the UFC just because – especially with maybe with the idea of some European events, Russian events like such, you know, in the future. I know Bellator is going to Russia. I'm kind of surprised he's not on that card, to be honest. He took this fight on late notice fight. So
yeah,
you know, but yeah, I think he wins this fight.
And it looks lot of the fans agree too. I mean, it looks like that he's slightly favored according to the fan predictions of the Bellator website. But so far, so good. I mean, we're kind of the same with our picks. I mean, it's kind of hard not to pick the names that we're familiar with from the Bellator roster. But, you know, this fight here, I mean, this is what's his name's relative, right?
Yes. Yeah, Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's undefeated. Yeah. Christian Edwards. He's fighting 4-1 Ben Parrish. Parrish coming off a loss in his last fight via leg injury, and then Brian to Bellator. I think Christian Edwards wins this fight. I think again he's a little bit of levels to this light heavyweight, built like John Jones, 6'5". I think he manages to. I think this is a showcase fight for him. He's getting on a main card, and in the United States on a big fight card. So I think he does some damage in this fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to pick him, especially. I mean, the leg injury that Parrish suffered. Do you remember the extent of it?
I don't.
I just feel like those are just harder to get over because. Especially in MMA, where movement and footwork and, you know, all that stuff is paramount to. I mean, it's got to be. That's why you hear about ACL tear so much in the sport as a sidelining injury, just because of all the, you know, the movements that they do, you know, on top of just not just footwork, but, you know, kicking and the leg movements when you're grappling, and it's just it's rough. It's rough. But the prelims, I was looking at them.
Just real quick, not to interrupt. Fabian Edwards is Leon Edwards' brother. This isn't his brother. This is the guy that trains with John Jones.
Right. Yeah,
super built much like him and uses his kicks. And like you said, one of the guys that they've kind of been showcasing on some of their prelims, really knocking out a bunch of their light heavyweights. But go ahead about the prelims.
Yeah, no, I thought I saw another. I mean, I was looking at quite a few cards, so I could be confusing them because the Bellator cards are, like you said, they announced, but between the time they had off, they announced quite a few. So I could have swore I thought Perez was on one of the, it might be one of the other cards. I'm confused.
I think he's on the next one. I think he's on the October.
The Ryan Bader card. Yeah.
Yes, in Arizona.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm confusing. Yeah. So, but these guys might be local California guys because usually Bellator fills the undercard with local guys. So I don't know if you recognize any of these guys.
I don't. I mean, the Gracie, Holland yeah. Gracie is 0-2. So that's kind of a weird thing to see Gracie with no wins and two losses. Other than that, I honestly
Alex Polizzi's been around. He's fought there before, hasn't he? I feel like I've seen him fight before.
Name definitely is familiar. Yeah. Yeah. He's fought in Bellator twice and he was an LFA before that. So it's not, like I said, this event was kind of thrown together quickly. So I feel like it's not the, and I'm curious to see what the crowd's like for it. I actually didn't take tickets, but you know, it's Bellator's back. There is a UFC.
Well, what are you going to do if you're buying tickets for something else that moves to the other side of the country? Why would you buy more tickets for the following weekend?
It's a weird world right now. So
yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's off night, so it's usually Bellator usually does Friday night events. Saturday we have they're doing it on Saturday. Bellator 266. There's also a UFC fight night, which is the ESPN Plus card, and it's Lionheart Smith versus Spahn.
Ryan Spahn, yeah.
I'm hoping Ryan Smith, Lionheart picks up a W, but he's another one that it's as much as I like him and enjoy watching him fight, it depends on the version of Smith that shows up in the cage that night. So I don't want to run through predictions on that because we're about to run out of time. But and plus it's ESPN Plus, and we all know that I'm against paywalls.
Some quick notes from BKFC 21 on Friday night. Mike Richmond in the main event defeated Dakota Cochran, knocked him down 6 times before the fight was stopped in the second round. 11 bouts, none of them went past the second round. All knockouts. Josh Burns in the co-main event kind of shocked the bare knuckle world with a quick 19-second knockout of Sam Shoemaker. Landed a jab left hook on the chin. Houston Alexander absolutely obliterated Wes Combs. I mistaked Wes Combs last week for Tony Bonello for the face-off with Shogun. Wasn't actually Pride, it was Elite XC. So there's that, but Wes Combs has been around a long time in the MMA scene. Houston Alexander dropped him, knocked him out cold, and then hit him while he was out unconscious on the ground with a follow-up shot. Somehow, obviously, in my opinion, based off the event being in his hometown of Omaha, Nebraska, is why they let him get away with it and not disqualify him. It was clearly an illegal punch and a devastating one, to see the least. Jason High also picked up a knockout. So that kind of wraps up the combat stuff. I feel like we should give a congratulations to James Lynch and the James Lynch family on welcoming a baby boy to the combat world here.
Yes, sir.
So congratulations to James Lynch and best to him and his family. I think that kind of wraps us up. Check us out always at allaccessmma.com. You can follow the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Ed, that brings us to the end of the show this week, and look forward to next week where we might have some audio with an interesting interview if all goes to plan.
Yes, sir. Have a good week, guys.
You too.
Hey guys, Ed here, East Coast side of the Coast to Coast Combat Hour podcast. If you like what we're doing, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, if you'd like to help us out and donate, the support links are in any of the podcast descriptions, and the links are also provided on our YouTube channel, The Blogboard Jungle. Thanks again for listening, and if you give us some support, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast, maybe bring you on for a UFC pay-per-view breakdown or two. Thanks again.